You are listening to the podcast of Providence Church in Austin, Texas. We hope this message raises your affections for Jesus and helps you live out the gospel in everyday life.
We are wrapping up our study in the book of Galatians today. And in this last part of chapter 6, Paul's summarizing the argument that he's been making all along. And so what's the argument about? Well, Paul had planted these churches in Galatia based on the gospel of Jesus, which he received from Jesus himself. And but then these other teachers had come in and were preaching a different message. And so Paul's message, simply put, is Jesus plus nothing. Because Christianity isn't primarily about what we do for God, it's primarily about what God has done for us in Christ. And if you add anything to that, it's like you're saying, you know, Jesus is fine, he's great, but he's not enough. And that's what was happening in Galatia. These other teachers who came in were preaching a message of Jesus plus Judaism. In their history and in their understanding, the mark of those who belong to God and belong to God's people is the outward mark of circumcision. And so they preached, they urged them to be circumcised according to the law of Moses. So the whole letter is about the difference between these two messages, Paul's gospel and the message of the Judaizers. And listen, it's a much bigger deal than it seems like on the surface. To us, a 6-chapter-long conversation about circumcision feels weird. Like, what are we? Why are we talking about this? But we're not just, and Paul's not just talking about whether or not Christians can adopt this or that Jewish practice. Paul's talking about the choice between two different worlds. I used to do fraternity ministry at UT, and so I would lead Bible studies with guys in fraternities, and they would always want to figure out the rules. Like, how can we drink? How far is too far? Like, what can we do now that we're kind of interested in Jesus? And, you know, there are answers to those questions, but that conversation always felt way too small to me. And so I would just look at them and say, you're asking the wrong questions. You're trying to figure out how to fit Jesus into your life, your world. You should be trying to figure out how you fit into his world. See, the Judaizers are trying to figure out how do we fit Jesus into our world of Judaism. And Paul is saying that's not how it works. Jesus has brought a whole new world. And so circumcision represents trying to go back to this old way, and Paul is saying, no, there's a totally new way before us. That's how he describes it in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he's not just mildly better, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So at the beginning of Galatians, Paul says that Jesus has rescued us from this present evil age. That's the old world. That's the world of fallen humanity. And at the end of the letter, which we're going to see, he says Jesus has ushered in a new age, a new creation. And so that's the tension in the letter. Two worlds. Two ways of relating to God, two ways of defining yourself, two ways of figuring out if you belong, two ways of living your life. And why is this important for us? Because every one of us has a tendency to live according to the systems and the values of the old world. There's so many messages coming at us, aren't there? From all over the place. Religious and irreligious, it doesn't matter, but they are all promising something good. They're promising meaning and success, happiness, but they're all rooted in, not all, but many of them are rooted in the system of the old world. That is to say, they're appealing to the flesh, the desires of the flesh, which we all have, to exalt self, to justify ourselves, to atone for our own sins. That's what the messages are appealing to. They want us to find a sense of belonging and worth based on some external marker. For them, it was circumcision. For us, it's all kinds of other things. And the big idea here at the end of Galatians is that because of Jesus, none of those things matter anymore. What matters now is new creation. All right, what does that mean? That's what we're going to talk about. And Paul just breaks it down in a simple contrast between the old world and the new world, and then he gives us a simple rule to live by. So we're just going to follow that outline. Let's talk first about the old world. Look at Galatians 6, verse 12. Let's read this together. He's talking about these teachers. He says, "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." What I want you to notice is that their concern with the flesh is what brackets these two verses. So at the beginning of verse 12, he says they want to make a good showing in the flesh. And at the end of verse 13, he says they want to boast in your flesh. And flesh here really just means the physical world, the world of outward appearances. And by the way, all of the fear and anxiety and pressure that comes with that world, a world that attributes value based on external markers, appearance and merit. That's what's underneath the teaching of the Judaizers. Look what he says. They want to make a good showing in the flesh. Good showing is two words that mean good and face. They want to make a good face. They want to look good. They want to be impressive. They want to be applauded for their success in ministry. The center of their teaching is not Jesus, but them. Their prestige, their honor, their reputation, their success. They didn't understand the glory of the new world because they were still seeking the glory of the old world. That's what Paul's saying. And Jesus confronts the Pharisees of his day in the very same way. In John 5, you know, the Pharisees are talking about the Torah. They're students of the Torah. They study the Bible more than all of us combined, probably. But they can't see that the Bible points to Jesus, and he's right in front of them. And Jesus says the reason they can't see the glory of who he is revealed in the scriptures is because they're still seeking glory from one another. They love to study the Bible, but not to figure out how to please God, but to get applause from each other. When I was growing up watching the NFL, there was a very popular wide receiver who I'll leave unnamed. He played for several teams. He was so good. Crazy talent. But he had a reputation for caring more about his own glory than he did the success of the team. That sounds like every modern day wide receiver, but back then he was really on the vanguard of it. And he's kind of famous for this one phrase. He would make a big play and he would come to the sideline and he'd get right up to the camera and he would say, "I love me some me." The Judaizers love them some them. They wouldn't come out and say it that way, but that's what's motivating their teaching. They want to make a good showing in the flesh. But for who? Like, who are they trying to impress and why? Paul gives us some insight into that. Look at the second half of verse 12. They want to make a good showing in the flesh in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. So when we think about persecution in the early church, we think about the Romans. But the first attacks against the church were from the Jews. Not all the Jews, but some sort of zealous parties among the Jews who wanted to keep Yahweh kept in the box of Judaism. And so one of the main things they were concerned about was the keeping proper boundaries between Jews and Gentiles, between clean and unclean. And you see that. That's what happened in Galatians 2, right? Peter's a Jew, he's eating with the Gentiles in Galatia because he can, because Jesus set him free to do that. But when some people come down from Jerusalem, he withdraws. And that gives you some insight into just the massive social dynamics and pressure that are at play here. And maybe he keeps the peace in this moment, but Paul says, no, what Peter did is not in step with the gospel. Because the markers that separate Jews and Gentiles are part of the old world, and Jesus has brought a new world that doesn't know any such boundaries. I want you to listen to Ephesians 2. This may be a passage you've read before, but think about it in this context. Paul says, "Remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, you people who just live according to the old world, you had no choice, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision." You see the divisions. Remember that at that time, you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. How? By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace. And that reconciled us both, Jews and Gentiles, in one body by the blood of his cross. That's a lot of words. But what he's saying is the old markers have passed away. In Christ, Jews and Gentiles are one new man. And notice, he's not saying these are two groups of people who are coming together and learning to get along, and they coexist. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the two are made one new man in Christ Jesus. It's an altogether new humanity. That's the new world. That was being lived out in Galatia. Their new life in the Spirit, their freedom in Christ was being embodied in social practices and real relationships. They were eating together. And when the Judaizers came down and saw what was happening, they thought, man, if this goes on any longer, this is going to cause trouble. There's going to be a lot of outside pressure about these boundaries being crossed. And so they urged the Galatians to be circumcised. Because if they could be circumcised, they could avoid the persecution. That would keep trouble at bay. That would make a good showing in the flesh. So the Judaizers are not seeking the glory of God, but seeking man's glory, and therefore they preach a man-centered gospel that enslaves people to the old world. They're living in that world, and Paul's saying, hey, we have to make a choice about what world we want to live in. How will we attribute value? How will we determine belonging? By the rules of the old world or by the freedom that we have in Christ? Ray Ortlund sums this up well. He says, false Christianity is all about appearances, a good showing. Liberal theology has a God without wrath, people without sin, a kingdom without judgment, and Christ without a cross. They may be cool, but they have no substance. Conservatives are staunch about the Bible, but they're staunch about everything because conservative is all they are. They make a big deal out of things that God says are neither here nor there. He says, deep down, all forms of false Christianity have this in common. They love the world. This is how Paul tells his story. You see it in Galatians 1 and Philippians 3 and in other places. He says, look, in my world, the world I was advancing. So think about all of the things that create value and meaning and belonging in the world of the Pharisees, and Paul was on top. He had the most of it, and he loved that world because he was doing awesome. But then on the road to Damascus, one commentator says, when Jesus was revealed to him, it changed the coordinates of Paul's life. I love that phrase. He's still living in the world, but his whole purpose and meaning for life has been completely altered. That's what he says in Galatians 2, right? I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This life that I now live in the flesh here, I live by faith in the Son of God. I don't live it according to the old rules. In Philippians 3, he says, look, all that stuff that made me so important, I now count it all as loss compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. And so what is your symbolic capital in this world? What gives you meaning and purpose? Your stuff? I hope not. Your body? Your kids? Your status or power? God's not against those things. He gave them to you. What he's against is using those things to seek glory for yourself rather than to bring glory to him. The mark of the old world is seeking glory from one another, exalting self, justifying self. But that has passed away, and the new has come. What is the new world? Look at verse 14. Paul says, they want to boast in your flesh, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Verse 15 is alarming to me because the whole letter has seemingly been about circumcision, and then you get to the end of it, and he's like, yeah, that doesn't matter. Uncircumcision doesn't matter. Circumcision doesn't matter. Don't worry about any of that. And you're like, wait, but that's all we've been talking about. The only reason Paul's been talking about it is because that's what the Judaizers have been talking about. I think Paul would like to stop talking about it. I think he would like to turn our attention to something else, namely the new creation. What really matters now? New creation is this really big concept. It speaks of the world to come, the day when God will set all things straight, make all things new, our bodies will be transformed, creation itself will be transformed, that day. But what Paul's saying is that in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that future day has crept into history now. You know, Jesus came saying the kingdom of God is at hand. It's the same concept. It's not yet here in its fullness, but it's here now, really. It's like a seed that's been planted in the garden, and just over time it grows, and eventually it'll take over the whole garden. New creation is now in flight, Paul is saying. And Jesus has ushered in a new system of identity and value and meaning that transforms us at an individual level from the inside out and is embodied in communities, in the life of the church. So let's go back to our example of the Gentiles and the Jews being made into one new man. That was an explosive and radical thing to say. And that's characteristic of new creation. New creation is not something that it's trying to just fit in nicely into this world. It cuts through the world and opens up a pathway of radical ways of thinking and living in this world. So here's another radical statement from Galatians 3. Paul says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. So in one little phrase, Paul has taken down the three like major markers and divisions in the Greco-Roman world. It's explosive. But he's saying that these things which you're so used to, the judgments you make, the way you view people without even thinking about it, these things are no longer operative in Christ's new world. John Barclay notes that the distinctions themselves are not done away with. What's done away with is the symbolic capital that we assign to these categories. So Paul is still a Jew, but more importantly, he's an heir according to promise. Paul is free, but more importantly, he's a slave to Christ. His body is masculine and circumcised. But more importantly, as we see in verse 17, he bears the marks of Jesus in his body. He's been persecuted for his sake. That's real Christianity. That's the life of the Spirit. And if you have that, if you've tasted that, why would you go back to the old world? Why would you go play that game again? Jesus has liberated us from this present evil age and set us free into a world of love and grace and power. That's what matters now. Set your mind on that. In the language of Galatians 6, make that your boast. Look at verse 13 again. They want to boast in your flesh, verse 14, but far be it for me to boast in anything except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So to boast, it doesn't mean to brag. It's a bigger word than that. It means to rejoice, to glory in, to be obsessed with. And to be obsessed with the cross was would be a really strange notion in Paul's day. The cross was brutal. The cross was embarrassing. It was degrading. It was detestable. It's not something that you would boast. It's something you would try to cover up. But the early Christians advertised it. They centered their whole life around it. If you want to understand the Christian faith, and you want to grow in your faith, understand the cross. Meditate on what happened there until this detestable and embarrassing thing becomes beautiful and sweet to you. Work out the implications of what happened there in your life over and over in community until you begin to see that Jesus is not someone who just fits into my world. The cross crucifies my world so that I can have new life in the Spirit. That's what Paul says. Verse 14, I boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Which is to say, there's nothing in the world anymore that even compares to Christ. There's nothing I could derive value or purpose from that would compare to the value and the purpose I have in the new world that Christ brings. He's not saying I don't have anything to do with the world anymore or people at all. The gospel actually calls us and compels us to engage more in the world and for the welfare of people. Let me show you what I mean. So chapter 5, verse 6 gives us some insight to this. I'm going to compare these two verses here. In Galatians 5, 6, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. What counts is faith working through love. Do you see how similar that verse is? Here in chapter 6, it says neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And so he is setting beside one another the new creation and faith working through love. And so I don't disengage from the world. I engage it in a whole new way through faith in Christ and loving people. Now that we're free from the old system of seeking glory from one another, being enslaved to each other's praise, now we have the capacity to actually serve and love one another. That's the fulfillment of the law. That's life in the Spirit. That's the new creation. Wherever we see the Spirit of God at work in his people, we are seeing the dawning of new creation in our world. There are a lot of things in our lives that seem really important, things that you've been worried and stressed about this week, just feel so big and so important that in the next world, we will see, actually weren't that important. You might see it tomorrow, but certainly in the next world. For example, Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world. I don't know if you've seen these graphics. It's mind-boggling. He makes $2,500 a second. In the time that it took me to tell you that fact, he made $10,000. Isn't that crazy? He will never be able to spend all of that in his lifetime. Not even close. I mean, he could give it away. But apart from that, he will die with more money than I can even comprehend. He can't take it with him. Even if he could take it with him, it wouldn't matter. Can you imagine trying to spend your money dollars in heaven? People would be looking at you like, what is that? What are you doing? It doesn't make any sense because it doesn't have any value there. In the same way, nobody will be in heaven trying to justify themselves based on external markers, based on the values and the systems of this world. What made you cool here will not make you cool there. Nobody would be running around heaven talking about how many followers they had, how many books they read, how many shows they watched, how much money they made. None of it. They won't be talking about that. They would sound silly if they were talking about that. Those things are fine. It's just not what the next world is about. It would be like wearing your high school letter jacket to college. Nobody cares, man. In heaven, you will not be wearing a letter jacket with patches that display the glory of your high school days, your former life. No, Paul says in Galatians 3, you'll be clothed in Christ. His righteousness, not yours. and everyone will have eyes to see plainly what really matters. And so Paul's saying, if we can see now, even dimly, but if we can see that that's what life in the new creation is about, then why not start trying to live that way now? Why not have our coordinates changed now? That's what he tells us to do. Look at verse 16. Live by this rule. Man, I always want just like break it down to one thing I can execute. Give me one rule. And the Bible never does that. But here today, by God's grace, live by this rule. What's the rule? Well, verse 16 first. As for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. The rule is new creation. That's the reality, the standard. It's spirit over flesh, faith over works of the law, love over self-interest. In our language at Providence, it's gospel centrality in every area of life. That's our mission as a church, to help each other believe the gospel and apply it in every area of life. That's our rule. And if we will walk by that rule, if we'll stay in that place, keep that mindset and focus, grace and mercy and peace will be upon us. I went to a funeral this week. I've not been to many funerals in my life, but all of them are very sobering, as you can imagine. Funerals have a way not only of reminding us about the reality of death, but also about what really matters in life. Because what do people talk about at funerals? They talk about the person's character. They talk about what the person loved and how they felt loved by that person. They talk about the impact that person made in the world, and it's almost always about how they encouraged and empowered others. It's hardly ever about what they accumulated in life. They don't talk about money. They don't talk about how comfortable the person was. They don't talk about how much control they had over things. That's the stuff that we stress over and strive for with so much of our life, and it won't even be mentioned at our funerals. The things we are spinning our wheels for in this world will not even get a word in. And that brings clarity about what really matters. When you're at a funeral, you're asking yourself, what is my life about? What world do I live in? It changes your coordinates. You leave there thinking, I want to live differently now. I want to focus on things that really matter. And that provides you like a new rule of life. Paul is saying, look at the cross of Christ. So much clarity to be found there about what really matters. The old systems of self-exaltation and self-justification and self-atonement have passed away with the coming of Christ. And behold, the new has come. And so, wherever you've been this week, whatever entanglements in the old world you've had, listen, let go of that fear and that anxiety and that pressure, and lift your eyes. Let the Spirit fill your hearts, and behold, new creation. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of Providence Church. For more resources and info, visit us online at www.providenceaustin.com.